Welcome to Health Styles. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of this program that's brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. A few months ago, I watched a video that had been posted to Facebook that showed a woman beating what looked to be around a 2 or 3 year old girl for soiling her pants. I assume the woman was the mother. It appeared to be the mother. Looked like she would be of that age group. But for over 5 minutes, she yelled at the girl and continued to beat her with a stick until I couldn't watch it any longer, and I was in tears by the time I stopped the video. I kept asking myself why this woman, who, again, I presume to be the mother, was relentlessly beating this little girl who was crying and cowering before her. And other questions kept pushing to the forefront of my mind. What impact will this mother's behavior have on the girl? Will it be lasting as an adult? If you've been the product of bad parenting, will you be a better parent to your own children? And how do people learn to be good parents? As a nation turns its attention to how to build healthier families and communities, the issue of parenting becomes a really important one. Two nurses are contributing to our understanding of how to help parents, and in one case, teachers as well, respond to the behaviors of children in ways that are helpful to the child and that can build healthier families. Dr. Deborah Gross is a registered nurse and the Leonard and Helen Stolman Endowed Professor in Psychiatric and Mental Health Nursing at Johns Hopkins University School of Nursing and the founder of the Chicago Parent Program. Debbie, thank you so much for joining me on Health Styles today.
Thank you.
And Dr. Sandy McLowry is also a registered nurse, and she's a professor in the Counseling, Psychology, and Teaching and Learning departments at the Steinhardt School of Culture, Education, and Human Development at New York University. She is the founder of a program called Insights into Children's Temperament. Sandy, thanks for joining us on Health Styles.
Delighted to be here, Diana.
Now, let me just point out that both of you are what we call edge runners. Edge runners is a designation that is given by the American Academy of Nursing for nurses who have developed innovative models of care for which there are good clinical and financial outcome data. And in full transparency, I'm finishing up my second year as president of the Academy, but it's given me the privilege to get to know these two programs and the work that both of you are doing, and I'm really happy that we're bringing this to the attention of our listeners today. So let's start with Debbie Gross. What do we know about the relationship between parenting skills and a child's health and well-being? Does parenting matter that much?
It matters enormously. The studies they've done nationally on looking at the relationship between all kinds of social determinants of health, such as poverty and low parent education, and children's health and behavioral outcomes, or their scores on school readiness. The most important factor that predicts outcomes in children, more important than income, more important than parent education, is the quality of parenting.
Mm. That's interesting. More important than income.
Oh, yeah. Wow. We have a lot of parents who have very few resources who are outstanding parents. Mm. They have an ability to know how to adjust their parenting to the context in which they're raising their children. They can be responsive. They're warm. They have strong values for their children. And they have a skill set to help their children reach their goals.
Mm. And so, wow, you've just described what maybe we could call good parenting. Is that what
Sure.
So say that list again.
So a lot of it is being responsive and warm and nurturing, so that when a child walks into the room, they know that the parent is paying attention, they're emotionally available, they might even light up in the room when the child walks into the room, that they matter to this parent. But the other aspect of it is that children also sometimes are defiant, and they are not doing what the parent wants them to do. And so it requires also a skill set about how do you guide children's behavior in a way that is positive but also clear and consistent and skilled. And that's what children need to grow up in an environment in which they are being guided and supported by a warm and nurturing parent, but they also need to be in an environment in which their world is predictable and clear and honors them as children and respects them as children.
Now, Sandy McLowry, do you agree with that analysis of the connection between parenting skills and a child's health?
Definitely, and I think it goes further than just health. I would say that well-being for children also means that they're doing well at school. It's part of their life, and it's a whole package deal that we offer children.
Now, and can the same be said about teaching skills in terms of managing behaviors of children? Your program also deals with parents, but also with teachers. So what do we know about the link between a teacher's skill in dealing with child behaviors and the child's well-being, including success in school?
Well, much like Debbie said, teaching has the same two major components. It's the responsiveness or the warmth of the parent or teacher, and also their ability to discipline the child in a way that is careful and consistent. And in our case, we help parents and teachers understand that children have different personalities, and therefore the strategies you use with one child are not as effective as those that you would use with another child.
So we'll get more into the specifics of your program in a moment, but I wanted to just ask both of you, so these are skills that you really can learn. Is that correct, whether teachers or parents? As a parent, Debbie Gross, can I learn to be a better parent? Can I develop
these
skills?
Absolutely. But you have to, so I, and I'm thinking about the vignette on the YouTube that must have been so
bad. Oh, it was
awful. You cannot teach skills to a parent who hasn't claimed their child. So in terms of the kinds of things that we're thinking about. So a lot of the early skills for parents who were raised by parents who were not connected to them, that didn't have a strong attachment, is the earliest thing that parents need to learn is how to give, how to nurture, how to understand that the child has a different set of, you know, is not able to understand what the parent wants, is not there to take care of the parent, but the parent's there to take care of the child. So you can't teach skills to a parent who hasn't claimed the child as, I want to change my behavior to help my child's behavior. But I do believe that all parents love their children and all parents want to do the best for their children, but they have, because of their own histories, have very different ways of getting there. So I think you can teach skills, but you have to teach the skills to parents based on where they're at. But there's no question that all parents can learn.
And so if I
can...
Go ahead, Sandy.
I just wanted to add to that the default for most of us is we parent the way we were parented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or teachers as a parent surrogate do the same thing unless we learn, intentionally learn, different ways. So you have to realize that what you're doing may not be as effective and be motivated to learn a different way.
So if I feel like I really had bad parenting, that I had maybe an abusive childhood, and one that was not so very supportive in terms of what I got from my parents. So I shouldn't assume that I will be able to do differently than they did. I shouldn't assume that I'll be a better parent.
Well, all parents want to be better parents, but if you don't have the skills, you don't know what to do. So if you say to a parent, no hitting, but you don't give them something else, they don't know how to discipline. They're stuck. So Sandy's absolutely correct that generally speaking, we parent the way we were parented. But if parents remember the pain associated with the bad parenting and have the resources to do it differently, they will. But if they don't have the resources, they don't have the access to the help, you can't expect parents to do it differently.
So this is what you focused on with the Chicago Parent Program, the idea that you were going to help new help parents to develop their skills in managing children who had some behavioral issues. Tell us about the Chicago Parent Program, Debbie Gross.
So the Chicago Parent Program was really designed as a universal intervention, which is essentially, if you want to get a driver's license, you know, in any state in the country, you have to go to classes, you have to, there are tests you have to take, there's all kinds of supervision that you have before you can even go sit for your license. But if you want to be a parent, we offer pretty much nothing. And as we were just discussing, what you're left with was the way you were parented, which may or may not have been the best way. So the Chicago Parent Program was really designed to provide a supportive environment for learning a new set of skills that would be tailored to your values as a parent and your goals for what you want for your child. So a lot of the program is helping parents to get clear about what is it they want for their children, what are the behaviors they value and they want to see more often, what are the behaviors they would like to see stopped, and how do I do that in a way that is positive and supportive and yet clear. So the program is offered usually in agencies that are comprehensive, that offer a comprehensive set of services to families or children. So, for example, they're embedded in mental health systems or in Head Start or in elementary schools and pre-K. So we try to embed them in natural settings where parents are and then build not only the skills but also a network of families so that parents aren't so isolated and they are with other parents and they support other parents in learning the new skills.
Why is it called the Chicago Parent Program? Are you only doing it in Chicago?
I know everybody asks me that question. So we developed it in Chicago, and what we were trying to communicate is that it really was designed for an ethnically diverse urban population so that so many of the parenting programs that were out there, well, first of all, most of the parenting programs that are out there, and there are thousands, have never really been tested for their strength or their rigor. Of those that have, most of those were developed and tested primarily on white middle-class families. And the needs of low-income families and a culturally diverse population were going to be very different. So when we designed it, we engaged an advisory board of African-American Latino parents raising children in low-income communities in Chicago to help us to understand what are the things that they struggle with, what are the things that would make them want to come to a parent group, what are the skills that they felt that they needed? What would make them not want to come to a parent group? And we built it around their advice. But it's really designed to be used in any urban city that is economically and ethnically and racially diverse.
And how do you, what does this program consist of?
So it is it is 12 sessions. We ideally set it up to be in groups that are led by two trained facilitators. And parents watch video vignettes of parents that we collected videos from parents in Chicago who let us shadow them with a camera for a half a day in their homes, stuck in a laundromat with their kids for 3 hours, in a grocery store. These are all the things that our advisory board told us that challenged parents, getting kids to bed at night, getting them up in the morning and ready for school. So we actually have these videos, about 150, 160 of them, of parents doing things well and sometimes not so well in all of these very challenging situations. And in a group context, the facilitators show these vignettes, and they have a manual that helps them to guide questions about what you see happen here. What would you like to? What did the mother do well? What would you like to see the mother do differently? Do you ever get caught at home doing those kinds of things that you wish you had done differently? So we really teach certain skills, and then we also have a lot of discussion about what are the behaviors they would tailor, they would use these strategies with their children to guide and change their children's behavior. So we help parents essentially walk out with a bag of tricks. Most parents have a bag with about two tricks in them, and they don't work very well. And we want parents to walk out with a larger array of things that they think can work with their child to help them reach their goals with their children. And then there's weekly practice assignments to practice them at home, and then you come back the following week and you talk about how it went, and all the parents are really helped to help each other. So the group leaders are not the experts about anybody's child, but they really help the parents to exchange information and support and challenge one another and problem solve.
So what is the evidence that this program makes a difference?
So we've run a couple of trials using the program against a control condition, and we find that parents who've gone through the program, first of all, they have significant improvements in their confidence as parents, but we also get drops in the parents in the children's behavior problems, and interestingly, reductions in parents' use of corporal punishment, even though in our program, based upon our advisory board, we never say no spanking. But parents, when they have other options, find themselves not spanking and not using corporal punishment. So we get significant drops in that. So it really changes parenting attitudes, parenting behavior, and child behavior.
Great. So let me just remind listeners that you're listening to Health Styles on WBAI 99.5 FM New York. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of this program, and you were just listening to Dr. Deborah Gross, a registered nurse and the Leonard and Helen Stolman Endowed Professor in Psychiatric Mental Health Nursing at Johns Hopkins University School of Nursing, and she's the founder of the Chicago Parent Program, and that was a description of that program. And we also have with us Dr. Sandy McLowry, also a registered nurse and a professor in the Counseling, Psychology, and Teaching and Learning departments at the Steinhardt School of Culture, Education, and Human Development at New York University, and she's the founder of the program Insights into Children's Temperament. So, Sandy McLowry, tell us about Insights into Children's Temperament. It's, you work with both parents and teachers.
Actually, there are three programs. We also have a program for children in the classrooms. And in each of these programs, we teach the participants how to recognize children's temperament. For the children, it's done through puppets. For the adults, it's done through videos, so that you understand that every child has both strengths, no matter what their temperament is, and also challenges. That helps parents reframe it, so they're not trying to recreate their child, but to work with the child's actual temperament or personality. And then we teach parents and teachers how to respond in more effective ways, and then strategies that are specific to a child's personal temperament. So our program is 10 weeks long, with programs for each going simultaneously.
So tell us a little bit about the impact of this program. What difference does it make? What does your research show?
Yeah, we've done three large randomized clinical trials testing whether this program works. And what it shows is that although we never use medical terminology in the program, but children who are at diagnostic levels of ADHD or conduct disorder or oppositional defiant disorder, their behavior gets down to normal levels without the use of any medication. Moreover, we've shown that we can improve the children's academic scores significantly, even though we're not really touching the curriculum that's going on in the school, but because the teachers have more opportunity to teach because the classroom's under control, the children are doing better. We also help children with temperaments that are more challenging, such as shy children, to be more engaged in the classroom, and children with more high-maintenance temperaments, not only to improve their behavior, but to improve their relationships with their teachers, because these are the kids that teachers find to be most challenging.
Now, your age group is what? Which age
group? Our age group is from kindergarten to about second grade. Debbie's are a little bit younger.
Uh-huh. And Debbie's, yours are how old?
2 to 5 year olds, yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
They're just slightly younger.
Yeah. So it's very interesting, and it makes me wonder. So you, Sandy McLowry, you've done your program in New York City, correct?
We've done it in New York City. It's also currently being done in Jamaica, and now it's beginning to be done in Appalachia.
And so you get the school systems to agree to have this program offered, or how does this work?
Right. The program is done in the schools, and much like the healthcare system, schools tend not to react until there's a really big problem. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is get them to prevent the problems from occurring at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So once schools are signed up, then we invite the parents. And, of course, the kids are eager to be involved.
So are you still in the New York City system?
Not this year.
So that brings me to the question for both of you about how do you embed this work into existing systems in a way that's sustainable? Sandy, maybe you could lead off with this, in terms of, it sounds like the best place for your work is actually in the schools. How do you embed this in school systems?
Well, that's the real challenge, because to run these kind of programs, there's cost. And school districts, particularly the ones that are serving children from under-resourced neighborhoods, seldom have a considerable amount of resources that they can devote to this. So it's a challenge, and we continue to talk to individual schools and school districts. But I would say it's my biggest challenge.
And what about, do you have any data on the long-term economic impact of your program? Can you show that it may cost this amount to deliver, but in terms of children's ability to be successful, have less burnout by teachers, I don't know what kind of long-term data you have. Is it possible
right.
to show
well,
an economic
just
impact?
Last week we submitted a grant looking to go back to our children who are now in middle school to see what the long-term benefits are. There's a number of programs that follow-up years later are actually stronger than the original effects. Mm. So we look forward to seeing what those results are.
Wow. And Debbie Gross, what about with your program and the sustainability of Chicago Parent Program?
So this is something that I definitely think about all the time. So we have one trial that's going on now with Chicago Parent Program in mental health clinics. So it's focused on parents and young children with behavior problems that are diagnosed. In that situation, in Maryland, we get the facility gets third-party reimbursement, and so Medicaid in Maryland will pay for the treatment. The hard part is when you're doing like what Sandy and I are doing, which is we're trying to do prevention. And right now we're working with a number of schools in Baltimore City, and our goal is to partly is to embed trained facilitators in the schools. So that if the schools have people already on staff who are trained to deliver the program to parents, they can use Title I funding to pay for the refreshments or to pay for the child care. But keeping it going, the hard part, I guess, with both the kinds of programs that Sandy and I do, there has to be coordination. There have to be champions. Mm. And if you just give it to the schools, it's very hard for them to maintain it, I think, when all kinds of other things are hitting the schools in terms of, the curriculum, the changing curriculum, or the costs of just everyday education. So it's something that when you deliver these extras that are really very important, I think it's hard for schools to maintain the ongoing champion of those programs when they're hit with so many other competing costs.
Yes, it is a challenge, and yet I think it's one that we all have to start thinking more deeply about, because it is about prevention. It is about helping people to live healthier lives, creating healthier families. And in a healthcare system where it's still largely fee-for-service, there's not much motivation. Nobody's going to add a code to have Sandy McLowry go into a school and to provide this program. But so I think we have to get a little bit more creative with how we think about embedding these programs into our existing systems and communities. We know that toxic stress in childhood is a huge event, a huge, not event, but condition that has an impact that is lasting on not just the child but the adult. When they are adults, they have health problems that they wouldn't have had otherwise. We know that it changes the chemistry and the functioning of the brain. And so it seems like we're going to be paying in the long run if we don't have adults who are able to fully participate in a healthy community. So I hope that we can do some creative thinking about how to embed these programs in our communities.
Let me add just one thing, because I think talking about children with real behavioral problems or parents with extreme amounts of stress is near and dear to both my heart and Debbie's heart. But the type of information we're giving parents doesn't have to be for troubled children. Parents want to do better with their kids. And all parenting is challenging. And they don't come with a manual. And so it's not just the poor children or the children who don't have any resources that need these type of programs.
Great point. I agree. And I think the last thing parents want is to have their children get diagnosed with a label. And unfortunately, the way the system is now set up, the reimbursement only comes with a label, with a diagnosis. And I think both Sandy and I are trying to work against that. And that's where the payment system needs to, I think, be changed. You know, more into if they could figure out some way of creating wellness packages for parents.
And have you thought about where that wellness package would be situated?
Well, that's a really good question, because the payments come in from multiple sources. Even when you're talking about schools, it's the local, it's the state, and it's the federal government you're talking about. And I think that is a hard but not insurmountable problem.
Well, the systems are not coordinated.
Yeah. They are not coordinated.
Well, both.
But they could be.
And both of you are doing really important work, and my hat goes off to you for your careful evaluation of these programs. You do have, you know, the research to show the impact on the programs. And for more information, Debbie Gross, how would people find out more about Chicago Parent Program?
So they can go to our website, which is www.chicagoparentprogram.org.
And Sandy McLowry?
They can go to my website, which is www.insightsintervention. So it's INSIGHTS without any space or punctuation, .com. So it's insightsintervention.com.
That was Sandy McLowry, a registered nurse and professor in the Counseling, Psychology, and Teaching and Learning departments at the Steinhardt School of Culture, Education, and Human Development at New York University, and she's the founder of Insights into Children's Temperament. Again, that's www.insightsintervention.com or org?
.com.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Sandy, for being on Health Styles today.
Thank you, Diana.
And we were also listening to Dr. Deborah Gross, again a registered nurse, and the Leonard and Helen Stolman Endowed Professor in Psychiatric and Mental Health Nursing at Johns Hopkins University, and the founder of the Chicago Parent Program. And that's Chicago. Give it one more time, Debbie.
www.chicagoparentprogram.org.
Great. ChicagoParentProgram.org. Thank you so much, Debbie, for coming on to Health Styles.
Oh, thank you. And thanks, Sandy.
Good to talk to you, Debbie.
good work, both of you. Well, I want to thank the listeners for listening to Health Styles on WBAI 99.5 FM New York. You can follow us online at WBAI.org. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of Health Styles. Health Styles is brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. And you can follow us online at www.centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. That's centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM New York.